Good morning. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Come and worship with praise and thanksgiving to God in your heart. We worship you, Lord, with gladness and in the joy of Christ's resurrection. Our song of worship is number 79. We come, O Christ, to thee. Let us sing. Let us pray. O Lord, in whom we move and live and have our being, we gather in this worship space expecting and anticipating an encounter with you that we've never had before. Lord, be with us throughout this worship. Fill our hearts and allow us to experience you in your word in a new way. We give thanks for the risen Christ who taught his disciples this prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Welcome to our worship service today. We're glad that you are here. Middle of April already. I'm sure that you were delighted by the warm weather, that taste of spring that we had the last few days. We look forward to its more fuller coming. If you're our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you are here, and we invite you to find a visitor's card in the pew rack in front of you and fill that out. Put that in the offering plate a little later on so that we can know you better. We're thankful to be together in God's house today and for the opportunity to worship. We also have opportunities for service. I will just remind you that there are sign-up sheets in the gathering space for opportunities to serve, things like Panera pickup and fellowship time and rides for David. Be aware of those things. Coming up, there are some opportunities. On May 4th, there will be an Ecumenical Church Women United meeting at Asbury. You can read about it in your bulletin. If some of you are interested, perhaps, just let Mary Lou know, and we can put that together for you. Also, a couple of things that are coming up to be reminded of. Next Sunday will be the newsletter deadline, and then a week from Wednesday is our congregational meeting and fellowship meal. That's on the 25th. So just be aware of that. Are there other announcements that we should make before we go on this morning? We'll have a mission outreach meeting next Sunday. Shall we stand and sing our song of praise, which is Praise Him, number 96 this morning.
Our New Testament reading comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, where we find these words. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the word. And will the ushers come forward for the offering? Let us pray. O Lord, for all that you have given us, we take this time to give back a portion of that which is already yours. Use these gifts to build up your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Christ's name, amen.
Now the brothers all are going to sing. We'll invite the children to come forward now for children's message.
Good morning. So I have a question. Do any of you like fish? Two of the three isn't bad. So one of the ways that we find in the Gospels that Jesus and the disciples interact together is with kind of meals and particularly the sharing of fish. And so if you guys remember from the Gospel reading from Luke that I read, as Jesus was with the disciples, he asked them if they had anything to eat. And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And so I thought, why not, since I have the time, bring and show you guys what a small little piece of broiled fish looks like. So you can tell it kind of just looks like a normal piece of fish. It's salmon, so. So if you can just imagine that Jesus' disciples kind of gave him a little piece of salmon to eat, and he ate in his presence. And after sharing the meal, it was after that in which he spoke to the disciples and reminded them of all that he had been called to do and all that he was preparing them to be ready for. And so, as you think about, or the next time you walk past and see a little piece of fish or a big fish or fish in water, anytime that you see fish, even if you don't eat it, just remember that it was over the fish and the meal that the disciples were closely intimate with Jesus. Okay. Next, let us pray. O Lord, of the many ways in which we've come to know you and you came to know the disciples and the disciples came to know you deeper, we pray that you continue to show us signs and ways in which we can engage and embrace you in this world, whether through the fish or through the bread and the body. Invite us to grow deeper with you. In Christ's name, amen.
We have the opportunity to take the moment now and to share with one another our prayer concerns and our praises. What would you like to share this morning?
Continue prayers for my wife, Lena.
This is a prayer concern we've brought before, but I heard from my sister yesterday, our niece and her husband need really strong prayers. His mother's the one that's battling cancer, and his father had been in the hospital. He had his gallbladder crystallized and he had a blood infection, and he had gone to a rehab, but my sister called me yesterday and said they had to take him back to the hospital. His kidneys had failed and he went into pulmonary problems, and they had to intubate him, and it's not looking very good. So his wife, who's battling cancer, is probably going to have to make the decision if she's going to let him go or not. And she's had radiation for 2 weeks on the masses, but the doctor doesn't believe that they have really shrunk. So they're not really, she's supposed to start chemo in a week, but they're not really sure what's going to happen with that. So prayers for my niece and her husband and their girls. He had lost his brother 2 years ago from cancer. So now he's facing losing both his parents, so which is all he has. So.
Thank you for all your prayers and concerns and generosity. As far as Ben is concerned, he continues to do well, but and that's a praise. But I'd like to also share, many of you see that Jim and Jane are not here. They're in Morgantown. Jane is dealing with her brother and sister-in-law at this time. It is becoming increasingly more obvious that they will not be returning home and that they will both need consistent care somewhere outside their home, which leaves Jane to take care of their home and several rental properties in Morgantown that she and her brother share. And it's just going to be an incredible load on her. And just keep Jane in your prayers as she deals with all those continuing revelations. Thank you.
I have a friend that has had several heart issues and some valve replacements and things like that. I think he actually had a heart transplant in addition to a valve replacement. And he's back. He's an alcoholic and he was off alcohol, now he's back on, and this mutual friend's been texting me asking me to help. That is not my expertise, so I need prayers. I think I will engage, and his name is Brad, so just keep him in your prayers, and pray for me as I reach out and see how I can help.
As always, let us be in prayer for our country and its leaders, and for those who serve. Let's bow together and pray. Dear God, we are grateful for the opportunity to speak out loud the concerns that we have, the things that cause us anxiety, sometimes fear. We are thankful that you hear our prayer. We are also thankful that you hear the prayers we do not have words for asking, that you are able, through your Spirit, to reach deep into our inner being and give us peace and comfort and strength and guidance. Lord, we also pray for forgiveness. Lord, we find in these circumstances that we are people of little faith, very often, like your disciples. And we pray that you would strengthen our faith, that you would forgive our failures, and that you would transform our lives. And we pray not only for ourselves, but for others, the others that have been mentioned, many of whom are dealing with very serious health concerns, some of whom are dealing with the care of loved ones. All of us who are living out our faith, discerning your will, and serving in ways that we have been given opportunities, we pray that you would continue to strengthen and bless us in that service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our song of meditation this morning is In the Faith We Sing, number 2119, Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Stand together and sing with me.
This morning's reading is from Psalm 4, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your heart and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled our hearts with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
I was watching a baseball game the other day on ESPN. It was in St. Louis. And I kept it on for a few minutes just because the Cardinals are my hometown team. And not many of their games are on TV in, here in Ohio. Although, the last 3 days, they have been on here in Ohio because the Cardinals have been playing the Reds. I hope there aren't any Reds fans in here. You would be better off to be Indians fans, I'm afraid. The Cardinals have won all three games. Although later in the season, they do play the Indians, and I think it will be in St. Louis, and I'm assuming it will be on TV. But what caught my attention about this one, because I only watched about an inning, maybe only a half of an inning, was that they were conducting an in-game interview with one of the players on the Cardinals. His name is Adam Wainwright. He's a pitcher, and he wasn't pitching that day, and I suppose that's the reason why he had time to do an in-game interview. I turned it on in the middle of the interview, and it caught my attention because he engaged them in an interesting conversation, which is to say, he refused to talk to them about baseball. Instead, he wanted to talk about farming. Apparently, he owns a farm in Georgia, and he is learning how to grow various kinds of plants. I noticed that he didn't use the word crops, he used plants. And also, he is learning how to prepare them to make tasty and healthy dishes. That's what he called them. They asked him about some of the young talent on the Cardinals, and he told them about okra and spinach, which he said he can't stand to eat by itself. He just puts in his shakes. He also told them about corn. I forgot what he said about corn. They asked him about pitching strategy, and he mentioned that there was a player on the other team, which happened to be the Milwaukee Brewers, who also owned a farm, and whenever the Cardinals and the Brewers play baseball, they always get together and talk about all they are learning about farming. At one point, they stopped asking him baseball questions and just started asking him about garden recipes and other kinds of food, so that the conversation was completely distracted from the baseball game. All this while the game was going on, and the Cardinals scored 3 runs. At which point he added that in the future he would only talk about plants until the Cardinals stopped getting hits. And they were all laughing, and so was I, because it was kind of delightful. It was a little bit like a politician dodging questions. He had distracted them from their work, drawn them into a discussion about plants that grow and can be transformed into pleasing nourishment. And in this case, a little bit of laughter. And if you're like me, it's kind of nice to be surprised by a little delightful laughter in the middle of the day. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. This is the way the fourth psalm begins. And the fourth psalm itself is a prayer. A prayer that recognizes the distress that comes along with life. There are several things the psalm suggests. One is it starts out by condemning the futility of the human, and I will just go ahead and call it an obsession. Maybe even more than one obsession here. The obsession with taking what from God is glorious and making it something shameful. The obsession with the love of delusion and the seeking after lesser gods. And this prayer comes from someone who looks out into the world of human things and doesn't see anything good. Sometimes when you're reading 2,500 or 3,000-year-old words, they come right into the present and make you wonder if this couldn't have been written yesterday or today. And at this point, the prayer almost seems to be pessimistic, but it turns out that it's not. Because it is not a despairing prayer, but a hopeful and confident one. It tells us not to sin in our anger, which reminded me of Paul in Ephesians, and so I looked it up, and it turns out that in Ephesians, Paul quotes the fourth psalm and says, "In your anger, do not sin." And he could have said other things, both Paul and the psalmist. "In your selfishness, do not sin. In your pride, do not sin. In your resentments, do not sin. In your fear, do not sin." And it gives us a suggestion that for the health and maintenance of our faith, it says when you're on your beds, which I think just means for a while when you lay down at night before you go to sleep, search your hearts and be silent. Now, silence is not one of the modern world's strengths. Of course, the world is never silent, and it never has been. But the kind of silence that is spoken of here is the kind of silence that happens when we stop making noise. It's the kind of silence that happens when we turn off the noise we can control. Like, for instance, the television set, which for many people is always on. The TV news, or the crime drama that is on every hour that you can binge watch, or turn off the cell phone, or the internet, or even the music for a while. I think it's kind of interesting. I was not raised to always have music playing. My sons were. So they always do, and they almost can't do anything unless there's music on. The music plays while they eat, plays while they sleep, it plays while they work. If they are going to go for a run, so we have runners in my family, and they always ask me, "How can you run without music in your ear?" They always have it in their ear. The psalmist is suggesting is perhaps that for a while it's good for us to be silent. Maybe at the very least, stop talking and listen. And the words of this psalm come to us during the season of Easter. And I'm very mindful of trying to listen to the psalm in the context of Christ's resurrection. Easter is a holy day that has been celebrated for close to 2,000 years, and we've learned how to give words to it and to give music to it and to make noise about it. It's kind of interesting that the Bible tells us to make noise, make a joyful noise. It also tells us to be silent. One of my observations is that just because we celebrate Easter all these years later tells us that we still live in a world characterized by sin. A world still basically untransformed, because there will come a time when Easter won't be one day out of the year, but it will be every day. As a matter of fact, it is every day, and it's not a bad thing for us to be reminded of that in the silence of our reflection. We always live in the time of Easter. I think of in the book of Revelation, the description of the New Jerusalem, in which there is no Holy of Holies. And the reason why there is no Holy of Holies in the New Jerusalem is because the New Jerusalem is the Holy of Holies. And the people that live in the New Jerusalem live eternally in God's presence. God's presence is not something we seek, but it is something we experience. But we must observe Easter in the full knowledge that the victory that it proclaims has not played itself out in earthly life completely yet. Not only our world, but we ourselves are still untransformed. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, it's hard to see any difference at all between the time before the resurrection of Christ and the time after it. Sometimes it is possible to question, like the psalmist, who can show us any good? But there is something that has changed. Christ has been raised. Everything that does happen to us happens in the context of that resurrection. The distress of life is not as deep and does not sting as much because God has made His light to shine upon us. There is an emphasis on repentance and forgiveness, and I think there is also an emphasis on life and meaning. Easter is the divine light shining upon us. And though we still have questions, because the human race is still vulnerable, as we see every day, and because there is still much pain in the world and everyone still dies at the end of this short life, even though the whole situation has turned sunny. And I use that word, sunny, on purpose because that's what Easter refers to, is the sunrise. We get the word from what happens in the east in the morning when the sun comes up. God has caused the sun to shine upon us and has given us the gift of life filled with joy and peace. That is the faith that we find in the psalm. And we live our lives out of the same faithfulness that the psalmist has. While there is an acknowledgement of distress and sin, and even a questioning of the goodness of things from time to time, we also find a firm confidence in God's faithfulness. And that is the key. When we are able to turn our eyes and our ears off of human beings and off of ourselves and of things that we do and the noise that we make, underneath, we find God's faithfulness. And we can be convinced that God hears our prayers and has provided for those who respond in faith and whose blessings are accessible to those who seek them, even when seeking means meditating in the silence, questioning, and trusting what is not visible. And that confidence has a way of building itself up in our souls like Easter. It turns into a simple prayer that we can join in. The end. Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. Let the light of your face shine upon us. And somewhere, for each of us along the line, the turn comes. When our focus is no longer on the distress, but on the light. Perhaps it comes because our external circumstances change a little bit. They get better. But if not, it comes inwardly when upon reflection, we also acknowledge what the psalmist calls a greater joy. A greater joy than the plentiful harvests. When the grain and the new wine abound. That's what we're searching for. Life becomes a journey in search of that joy, of that life, and of that light. This psalm reminds me, for some reason, and perhaps also Easter reminds me a little, of the passage in Hebrews, in which the lives of the faithful are summed up. We call it the roll call of the faith. And in chapter 11, verse 13, the lives of the faithful are summed up with these words: all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Sometimes our circumstances don't seem to get better. Sometimes we seem to be overwhelmed by them, but we journey on with confidence and faithfulness. But we also need to recognize that sometimes our circumstances do get better. Sometimes it's temporary. But when they do, it is meant to foreshadow for us the coming of the heavenly city, the destination that our journey is leading us towards. Easter is such a foreshadowing, and so is springtime, if it would ever come. And harvest, when there are tasty and pleasing and nourishing dishes. We keep journeying and seeking in confident faith in our God that we have been kept safe. Easter is a good time for us to think about the wonderful things. For those of us who are not farmers, we might not think of the harvest and ramble on about plants to our heart's delight. But we can still think of wonderful things. And you see, I'm prompting you. You should be thinking about the wonderful things that you have experienced. Birth. The light in a child's eye when they learn something. Romance. The beauty of nature. The warmth of the sun. Silly humor that brings laughter. And when we turn it back on again, music. I have only touched the tip of the iceberg. Let your mind wander. These things are not necessary. We are not owed them. They are grace from God. And the grace of God brings a greater joy than all of these things can put together. So that no matter our circumstances, we can get to the end of the day and conclude the way that the writer of this psalm did. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Shall we pray? We pray for that peace, O Lord, and we know that we will not understand it when it comes. We know that it is peace among noises that disturb us. We know that it is peace in a storm. But we know that the storm is temporary. And we know that the peace comes from you. We pray that we would be able to see it and to hear it. And that our lives would be made joyous. And that we would be at rest. Through Christ, we pray. Amen. Our song of dedication this morning is number 317. It is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Shall we stand together and sing? Dear Lord, we are thankful for your presence in this place. We are thankful for the words spoken and sung and for the fellowship we share. We pray as we leave that you would also go with us and guide our paths and give us peace and joy. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.
It was very majestic.
Oh, good. I'm okay.